Welcome to Songwriter Trysts. This is an intimate podcast that is connecting songwriters from all over the world. I'm singer-songwriter Ray Lee and your host for this show. Music saved my life and I want to talk to other songwriters about the power of songwriting, talk about their journey and how they got to where they are today. This is a safe space to share stories, lessons and emotions, all the great things that build an amazing song. Today we are speaking with Ronan, who has had one of his songs featured on Grey's Anatomy, a famous TV show in the United States and has aired all over the world. Struggling with ADHD as a kid, he was encouraged to play drums to help get rid of some of his energy. He picked up guitar at 12, continued to get lessons, and then studied at Berklee College of Music in Boston, and after 2 years left college and led right into Nashville, and now working as a producer and a writer and collaborating with people to continuously improve his work. Here is Ronan.
I'm Ronan, and I'm from Chicago, Illinois. I was raised in a suburb right outside the city called Glenview. Out of high school, decided to pursue music, and I went to college in Boston at Berklee College of Music for 2 years, which then led me to my first band. And we moved down to Tennessee after 2 years at Berklee and Nashville. And after about a year and a half being with them, decided to go off on my own and start my writing career. And through that period, it took about, 6 to 7 years to finally get some traction in the writing field. I started by playing writers' rounds around the city and doing all the usual things that writers do here in Nashville. And then finally, after about 7 years, I cut through and got my first few cuts, just small cuts, but the first ones, you know. And then last year, signed my first publishing deal with Demolition Music Publishing and Arts and Crafts Music Publishing in Canada. And then in my first big sync with Grey's Anatomy about a month ago now.
Yeah, I saw that. Congratulations.
Thank you. That felt pretty good, man. I'll tell you. That felt pretty good. It paid off, right?
That's a pretty long journey. Like, what, 10? They do say it's a 12-year career, don't they?
Yeah. So in Nashville.
I definitely have heard that over there.
The 10-year town. So it definitely rings true. I'll say that much because really your first little while are just making the relationships and friendships. And that's why Nashville is such a good community, is everyone kind of looks out for each other and introduces you to friends of friends. And it took a while to build my way up into the right writing rooms and, you know, it all paid off.
I know when I was there, I've only been there once, and I was literally only in Nashville for 10 days for like a writing retreat, and I stayed at Airbnb and it was amazing. I met so many people in 10 days, I cannot tell you. But every single person is like, oh, you've got to come here. You've got to be here. You have to be here. And like everyone said that.
It's pretty amazing.
What's that about?
Living here especially. At first, it was tough for me because, you know, I lived in the North most of my life, and there's just a different, I hate to use the word vibe, but there was, I think about the city life and how fast paced everything is. And then you come down to Nashville and it's so much slower paced and relaxed. And especially in the writing community, you know, there are times when it's hurry up and wait kind of situation, but everyone's just kind of, it's like a tight knit community of songwriters, and it's still Music City. You know what I mean? And I took a couple trips out to LA, and nothing bad against LA. It's just, I feel like it's so much obviously bigger and so much more widespread. There's so many more people to get in touch with. And here I just feel like everyone kind of knows each other.
It's kind of like a big country town, isn't it?
It literally is, So everyone just kind of knows each other. If you bring up a name, someone's bound to know it. So, you know, it's pretty wild. It's a great little spot.
I love it, and I do feel like I'm getting to talk to a lot of people through this podcast, which is fantastic. And look, if COVID wasn't around, I'd probably definitely be there, but it is what it is, and I'm enjoying it over here.
When's the last time you were here?
2019, October.
2019. Oh my gosh, yeah. That's pretty close to right at the beginning of COVID. Right?
Yeah, well, yeah. It was like 6 months before.
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
Did we know that
festival?
That a pandemic was right around the corner.
No, right? Yeah. Like, I remember Broadway was just rammed with people, and like, there's, you know, you wouldn't see that now these days. So, I think Dolly Parton's 50th anniversary at the Opry was on. Like, it was kind of like that time.
Oh, yeah.
When I was there, it was very busy. There was apparently like a bunch of firemen from New York down for some convention. So, like,
there's always someone down here for some convention.
It was definitely a fun party atmosphere while I was there. But yeah, I can't even imagine what COVID has done to a city that thrives on music and being out and, you know, that type of atmosphere. Like,
I will say,
it must be a ghost town.
Yeah, at first, I will say, you know, there's definitely the tough part is it's a, you know, pretty political atmosphere is in the United States.
Yeah.
So everyone has their difference of opinion when it comes to when COVID was real or not, which was interesting. Mm. So that was very interesting. And, you know, my parents are in the medical field. So obviously I stayed quarantined throughout the whole thing. And so me and my fiance stayed indoors, and it was just, you know, I will say Nashville was pretty active probably around February-ish of this year, January, February. Like, people were, there was, the mandate was lifted in some areas. And now I will say, because a lot more people are getting their vaccines, they just lifted the mandate in Nashville, the mask mandate. But wow. Yeah, but I'm still wearing one, and a lot of the people I know are still wearing masks. But yeah, it's interesting. I don't think we're out of the woods yet, but I'm not a doctor, so.
Right before I fall asleep, I hear the thunder calling me. I see the skies, they gently weep. And I am stuck in between.
Tell me about the beginning of music for you. Where did the love of music come from?
The love of music. Well, so the first album I was ever actually forced to listen to, technically, was my mom put on a Kenny Loggins, Loggins and Messina album, and then it moved to quickly to the Kenny Loggins House at Pooh Corner children's album, which I listened to every single night while I was falling asleep on this little green JVC boombox when I was a kid. And yeah, it was, I still remember all the moments of listening to it. And then through there, I was up until I was about 4 or 5. And then when I turned 6, I got my first drum set because I wanted to be a drummer. And okay.
like a little kiddie one, or they get you a
pop-up? Oh no, it was legit, and my parents really regret that decision because I was slamming away in the basement at all hours. Yeah. Well, originally they got it for me because I had terrible hyperactivity when I was a kid. I had bad ADHD. I still do, but figured out how to control it a little bit better. And so they wanted me to get some of my energy out, and I played the drums up until I was about, I'd say, 10 or 11. Then my brother got a guitar, which, of course, being a sibling and the youngest, I was like, Daniel got a guitar, why can't I get a guitar? So that led
sibling rivalry.
Exactly, right? And that led to my parents finally buying me my first little like Fender Strat. Well, it wasn't really a Fender, but version of it. Was a lot
cheap
less
knockoff.
Yeah, it was a very cheap knockoff. Wasn't even a Squire, and it was started playing that around the clock. And by the time I was 12, you know, I didn't really know what I was doing, but apparently I was writing music. I didn't know that at the time. I was just kind of, it's hard to explain now, but you know, I would write words on a piece of paper and strum the guitar, and I wasn't listening to as much music at the time, because I was a full-time hockey player. So yeah, I really didn't have much time for anything else at that age.
Yeah.
So yeah, I started playing guitar, and my parents got me my first teacher when I turned 13. So I started doing, you know, probably like once every couple week guitar lessons. And my teacher turned out to be a very classically trained musician who just kind of made me do all the exercises all the time and practice constantly, which was cool.
Did you enjoy that?
It was cool. Yeah. But, you know, when you're a kid, you're just kind of like, I kind of want to just play like the newest Fall Out Boy song and the newest Green Day song. But, you know, it led to basically me wanting to pursue music in the long run. So I took music theory throughout high school, which was probably the best decision I ever made, and went through 2 years of music theory. And then on a whim, just wanted to see if I could do it, applied to Berklee College of Music and had really no intention of like going. And then when I got accepted, I was like, okay, like that sounds cool. Music for college. That sounds nice.
Yeah.
Wasn't good at anything else. So that worked out perfect.
Yeah. It was 2 years. Is that how long the course goes for, or did you not finish?
So I did not finish. I was one of the, that I like to call the Berklee Four, which is, instead of 4 years of college, you do 2 years. But yeah, a lot of people leave after, you know, about 2 years, not because of anything other than the fact that they just kind of want to get started music career, you know. So yeah, I got antsy and I just wanted to I just wanted to leave. And I loved the school. It was you learn a lot, but as you probably know, and a lot of people know, it's, when I was going, it was more of a jazz based school, jazz and classical, and I was more in the pop oriented field. So about my last,
that would have been quite boring.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, love jazz, but I don't love jazz. So
your genre, yeah,
yeah,
it would be,
yeah,
hard.
Exactly. Especially to play, most of our ensembles were jazz based, and I'm gonna be honest, like I never could figure out how to play jazz music. Like I just never. I tried. I like copied what the books told me to do on guitar, and I still just didn't feel it. I was just like, I just don't. Yeah. Like listening to it, yes, love it. But playing it, I didn't have the feel for it. So, you know, I moved out here and into Nashville and just kind of found the nearest producer or songwriter and latched on and just kind of learned from them, which was pretty cool.
Spent 7 years sort of in Nashville. Were you working at the same time while you were just trying to do your, like,
oh gosh,
with the band? Because you said you did the band for a year and a half. Like, what was that transition like, going from a band to then going like, all right, actually I just want to be a songwriter?
So in all honesty, I was actually pretty heavy drinker up in during that time. And that year and a half, my first year and a half in Nashville, I was with a band, and I sobered up. And I honestly just needed a fresh start away from the band. And, you know, we didn't break up on any bad terms whatsoever. It was just, I needed to move out and get a fresh start. And I moved out on my own to kind of pursue my own thing. And that kind of, you know, I've been sober now for 6-7 years almost. It was just kind of like a life choice to move out on my own, because I felt like if I kept going back, I would relapse or something. Yeah,
it was a hard thing to do.
Yeah, it really was. You know, I had to leave my good friends behind, kind of thing. Not because they did anything wrong or anything like that. It was just one of those decisions, me over, you know, music. And I chose me, and then it led to more opportunities in music, actually. So it was, but we played shows around Nashville for a little while, and I was the lead singer and guitarist, and it was a lot of fun. It just, you know, I like the solo life a little bit better.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I've done both as well, and there are definitely perks, but also complications that comes with a band.
Oh, absolutely. I think the hardest part is having to keep track of not only yourself, but 4 other people. So,
yeah.
And I have a hard enough time keeping track of myself.
Yeah, yeah. I can relate to that. Absolutely. So how is it going in the solo life? Because you've done some deals and you're doing your own production. You're quite a talented producer. Is that something that you taught yourself, or how did that?
Yeah, so production, it's really funny. I never thought I'd be doing the production part. You know, there's kind of a turning point in everyone's career where, maybe not everyone's, but at least in mine, where I stopped doing my artistry for, I'd say, a good 2 years because it wasn't working. And I had started getting a lot of new sessions in songwriting and whatnot, and started producing people's stuff as demos originally, but then that later turned into final productions or what have you. And honestly, I didn't think I was very good at it. And then people were like, yeah, I'd love to release just this version or master this version or mix this version. Wow. And I'd be like, oh, okay, maybe I'm kind of good at this part. So that kind of led to me just sticking to what was working at the time. And I feel like that's something everyone in the career kind of has to decide. And I told myself, you know, this is working now. Doesn't mean that the artistry part won't work later. So I just stuck to the production for the last probably 3 years now. And I taught myself all the ins and outs. And again, you know, sat in the room with people who were much better than me at it and just kind of learned from them. And, you know, that's the best part about Nashville too, is, you know, a lot of people don't have an ego here. So it's more teamwork than anything else. So,
which I absolutely love. Oh, that was probably the biggest thing that inspired me.
Yeah.
Because I don't come from a place that has that attitude at all. It's all very much me, myself, and I did it all by myself and pat myself on the back when I win an award and have a after party by myself with champagne in a penthouse. Like, it's just, it didn't sound fun to me.
Yeah.
And I think that was the reason. Like, I was a bedroom warrior. I wrote songs and played guitar and piano on my own in my bedroom for 30 years.
That's
and
the game.
Yeah. never had the desire to share that with anyone. Like, it was just for me. But at the same time, I was just, the idea of doing it all myself was like, well, what's the point? And like, I've always been a team player, even in like work and everything else. It's like, if it was a team, that made me work really hard. But if it was just for me, there's no incentive.
Oh, absolutely. And that's, you know, because again, that's why Nashville, a lot of those producers never had to say yes to me being in the room, you know, and a lot of producers will say, you know, they have tricks and secrets. And here, no one ever said no to me learning their tricks and secrets. And I'm the same way. If someone wants to learn, you know, I'll help them learn. Because it's better to have people in your corner than other people against you, because it leads to more relationships, honestly, and more opportunities. Because if they get something big, they might ask you to produce on it or help them with it. And, you know, it's such a team effort down here.
I see fire and ashes fall. Will there be someone to save my soul? Take me higher to safer ground. All these bad dreams have sunk to my bones. If I don't open my eyes, wake me up.
If you just live by example and you do that, and like when we lift each other up, that's exactly what we do. We lift each other up.
Yeah.
And I think when we bring each other down by being competitive, that's exactly what we do. We bring each other down. And so why even bother? So
and
that's kind of why I do this, you know. It's like, let's connect and build relationships and lift each other up.
Plus it's no fun, you know, when everybody's
right?
No fun, dude. If like I'm constantly trying to compare myself to someone else's work, or like, why didn't I get this cut? Or it's just so much easier to be happy for people. Like, it's so draining to get jealous. And I did that for a while, where I was, you know, the typical, why isn't my stuff working? Why is this guy getting this, that? It's like, it was so mentally draining that it's just, and it got boring. It was the same thing.
It doesn't, it's not productive.
No, not at all.
I want to be successful, and when that success comes, I want to have like 50 people around me that are all a part of that success in some way.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
I love that.
I want to be in the penthouse with like 20 bottles of champagne and we're all just having fun. Like, that's, have a party. I don't want to be on my own at all.
I mean, that's the game, right? Like, that's the funnest part, is having the people who helped you make it happen around you.
Yeah.
again, absolutely, it would be boring to be alone in that penthouse drinking champagne right? by yourself.
Like, yeah, I don't have to be successful to do that. I can do that now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it is. I think it's beautiful when people work together and collaborate. And we need to, like, especially these days, there's just no way that anyone could do it all on their own, you know. You need to be able to do the production, and you need to be a really good writer, and then you need to be a really good performer and a singer and a, you know, yeah, and a PR agent and publishing and then record, you know.
You're preaching,
everything,
you know.
It's exhausting.
Like, yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, most of the sessions I'm in now, I'm writing, but I'm also the producer in the session, building the track and whatnot. And we write as we produce because the writers can't do it as well, or they just don't want to, or, you know, what have you. But, you know, without the lyricist, the rhythm section, whatever, the producer, the melody guy, it's just, you know, you bring it all together and it always comes out better than if you had just written it by yourself.
So magical, isn't it? No, I love it. So let's talk about your music a little bit more and your songwriting process.
Yeah.
So even though it's collaborative, obviously, but when you're thinking about yourself as an artist and the music that you want to get out there, is there like a core message or feeling that really motivates you? Because I know some people like that everyone likes love songs, or some people are more sad and tragic. Have you worked out who you are and what your feel is?
So I grew up listening to a lot of Cat Stevens and I'll say Neil Young, Kenny Loggins, you know, storytelling songwriters and just emotional songwriters. And sometimes their lyrics are a little bit harder to comprehend, but they do have meaning. That's kind of the style I love personally, the Bob Dylan poetic kind of lyric. And basically, what I try to do is capture a moment, right? Like, that's the style I love. Sometimes I'll turn on a TV show, a very dramatic TV show in the background, and just keep the sound off and just kind of capture the tension in that room. Or, you know, just pick a scene in my own life and try to capture the tension in that moment or the happiness in that moment. That's kind of the goal for each song I write, is to try to get it placed in a film or in a television series where it would just work perfect. And that's not saying that I only do sync music, but, you know, it's just so fun to write because there's endless possibilities for lyric and melody, and you never know what supervisors are going to love. That's the hardest part. You know, you could write something where you're like, wow, this was crap. And then you find out it gets placed somewhere, you know, and they love it. So I really think of myself as more of, you know, a scene capturing musician or writer or lyricist. I just find it very fun.
Yeah, no, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, like just capturing, like, that's what life is made up of, you know, those moments.
Little moments.
And yeah, and sometimes we are so focused on the future and what we're going to do next that we can miss those moments, and yet those moments is what make life beautiful.
I'm definitely and guilty of that.
Yeah, I think art and music in this case is a beautiful way to capture those moments and help people to slow down and see them and actually focus on the things that we take for granted. So that's beautiful. I love that.
I agree, yeah.
Really good answer.
Do you write mostly country stuff or just all around everything?
Well, I actually, when I was in Nashville, I met with a publishing company. I have a feeling it was someone from Demolition, actually. But anyway, and I was playing some of my songs and went through the lyrics and stuff, and she turned around to me and she goes, "You're not country, you're pop, right?" Like, after the third song.
Interesting.
And I was like, well, I never said I was country, and I don't really have a very country voice. People have described me more as a Beyonce, which, you know, coming from people who are looking for country can be a bit of an insult, but I'm quite happy to sound like Beyonce. That's cool. But yeah, my music, like I said, I was a bedroom warrior. So like, it's always been something that I wrote for me, and it's always usually been very emotive, and I love having metaphors, you know, in my music and finding things that people can picture as a way of understanding their emotions, because emotions are somewhat elusive, I think. And art is a beautiful way to encapture those emotions that, again, we sometimes don't actually take the time to look at properly in life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I agree.
So what about co-writing? Because I'm obviously that's a big thing in Nashville and I think it's amazing. Like, and this is where trysts come in is I think when you write a song with someone, it is a bit like having a tryst with someone because you can – it can be a great experience, it can be a bad experience, but at the end of the day you get a little song baby out of it. What's it like for you? What's your process in co-writing?
I mean, honestly, it's funny because I always think of the first hour of most either first sessions or second, whatever it may be, as a therapy session between musicians, because typically you, there have been sessions in which we start the song about 4 hours in because we're all talking about just random stuff. And honestly, it just captures so many ideas. So you get lost. You're like, oh gosh, what? I don't even know what to write about now. But I will say, yeah, most sessions are like a therapy session. Everybody's just kind of putting their feelings on the table and just talking about their week, their month, their year, what they've gone through. And most of the time, everybody in the room can relate. The hardest thing I feel like for writers is having so many emotions that they can't put them on paper. So that's why it's always great to have other people in the room to write those songs, because they can, you know, put words to what you're trying to say or actually comprehend what you're trying to say, because internalizing your own emotions and trying to put it on paper is so hard sometimes because you have so many ideas rushing through your head. But my process essentially is, you know, I'll start with a track, sometimes I'll start with a guitar riff or whatnot, and sometimes the artist or the other writer will come in with, you know, a full melody or progression and be like, listen, this is what I'm thinking, and we'll just change it around. You know, it's really open-ended. It never, each session is always different. With pop stuff, obviously, usually it starts with a track. With country, it starts with typically a guitar or piano or just a great lyric idea.
Yeah.
But it's always different for me.
Yeah.
Depending
on. I feel like with country, it would be, it's just a story.
Yeah.
Like, and that's where I relate to country music, because it's that story. But yeah,
I agree.
It's different for everyone. And I think it's good to go into every session with like an open mind that it's going to be something different.
Yeah, 100%. I think too, like, you know, every person you write with is going to have a completely different style. And sometimes, you know, I've had sessions where, you know, I don't get back with the person. It doesn't mean that they're not a good writer. It just means our creative systems didn't, you know, vibe as well. And that's not always a bad thing. It's just everybody's made up of different wiring, you know? So.
Yeah. It's like chemistry. It's like you're not going to be attracted to everyone, but it doesn't mean you can't be friends.
Exactly.
I have like some of the best friends that we've gone to write in a room together and we've just, it's not come out. But at the same time, we'll bounce ideas off each other and give each other options and then kind of co-write in that form. But it's not at the same time. It's more like, hey, can you have a listen to this? Let me know what you think. And they might have some ideas, they might not. But yeah, I think everything's different.
Yeah.
That's okay as well. Like I remember I did a songwriting session with a guy in Nashville actually, and it was supposed to be a pro write. Like we were there, I was there with someone else and he was supposed to be this professional songwriter and he was. But his attitude was horrible. Like, you know, he made us feel horrible and we both left going like, oh, what was that? Like we finished the song, but... That wasn't a nice experience, you know. Like,
absolutely happens. I've been in rooms like that for sure, where, you know, that's where the ego thing comes in. If somebody has an ego when they come in because they've had a number one or, you know, they've had great success, it's funny because, you know, times change pretty quick in the music industry. So you could have a hit today and definitely not have a hit tomorrow.
Yeah, right.
That's again why you got to keep your friends close.
But you know what? Like, even though it was a horrible session, a few weeks, maybe even a month later, I listened to the song. I'm like, it's actually a pretty good song, if I'm honest.
That's really funny.
Even then, the idea of producing that song would always take me back to that moment of feeling horrible in the session. And then that turns me off not wanting to ever produce it. And like now I'm a recording artist. Like I wasn't at the time, but now I am. And I'm picking songs and like actually it's a really good song and maybe one day I'll do it. But if there's ever a choice between that song and another good song, I'd probably always take the other because of that experience
and
feeling yuck with that person.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Isn't that sad?
It's funny because I'll come back to some, just like you, I'll come back to some songs a lot later on and just be like, oh, actually, that's not bad.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I think that's a good thing to be able to go back to songs. Like I always have like NRE energy with the new song that I've just done. Like, every song that you've just done is like the greatest hit ever. And sometimes it can take a bit of distance to kind of have some, like to realize where it really is, whether it needs rewriting and things like that. But I don't know, I love that feeling when you go back to a song or you've been singing a song for like 5 years and you still love it. It's like, that's the gold for me.
Yeah, that's the winner.
That's the winner, yeah. If you still love it. All right. So what's the best advice, and this might be a hard one, that you've ever been given because you've been doing it for quite a long time. What do you think was a real aha moment for you?
Honestly, that we talked about it a little bit before, and I'd have to say the best advice I ever got was not to compare myself to anyone else. Because everyone has their own lane in the sense of there's millions of us out there, millions of songwriters, whatever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if I sit here and compare myself to the guy who's crazy successful and whatnot, like we talked about before, it's a waste of energy. So The best advice I ever got was just to focus on my own music.
Mm.
And because if you're sitting there comparing yourself all the time, you're just not going to write stuff that you're going to want to write whatever's going on in the world or whatever the newest pop hit was or whatever the kid that blew up overnight is writing. And that's not your style. So
I feel like that is such a thing though. Like even when I was in Nashville, I heard it, but I hear it all the time. It's like, oh, we've got to do this because this is what everyone's doing in the top 10 at the moment.
Absolutely.
It's a big thing, isn't it? I don't really understand it.
Well, I will say the only time that works and the only time I feel like it's necessary is when you are writing for the Billboard chart, right? So like if you're writing for the next pop star who's trying to get into the scene right now, you're going to sit down and do some grungy kind of pop rock 90s, you know, Fall Out Boy-ish guitars and that kind of vibe because that's the thing that's going on right now. But if you're really trying to make your way as an artist, you know, you can't be copying what everyone else is trying to do. It's just not, you know, because they'll just compare you to the person who's much more famous than you are and you'll never break through.
Pretty much. That's so true. All right, and what about advice that you would give to someone who's just starting out? They could be in high school or maybe they're having a career change. But what would you say to someone outside of obviously don't compare yourself? Where should they start? What's the first thing you should be doing when you're starting off as a songwriter?
The first thing you should be doing is something I should have done a lot more, which is read a lot of poetry, read a lot of fiction, read a lot of things that will stimulate your imagination because I, looking back, wish that I had read a lot more. And I read now, you know, but I wish I had read a lot more. And listen to music. Just, and not the newest music that's out there. Listen to everything. Every style. Mm. Everything from the past. Because if you're listening to the radio, you'll hear influences of all those styles of music now. It's, you know, constantly reusing ideas from the past.
Mm.
So those would be my two. And I guess the biggest one is never think you know everything because you don't. You'll never know everything. You should always be learning from other people. I can't tell you how much that has helped me. I just, you know, if you start thinking you know everything, soon enough, you'll know everything that you know, and then there will be someone who will know a lot more because they're learning from other people. So just keep learning.
Oh, it's such a, I think it's a growing up thing, that epiphany that, like, and I think because of the way school is, I don't know what it's like. It's probably very similar, like schooling. It's like you get to an end of a year and if you get an A, that means you know everything, right?
Yeah.
And then you go into the next level and you have to learn everything in that level. And like, so I feel like people must think that by the time you finish year 12 or whatever it is, like your last year of high school or university even, it's like, yeah, you know, like that's the top level of education. And so that means you know everything. There's nothing else to learn.
Exactly.
I don't, and then it takes like a few years of real life, I think, to realize that doesn't go away.
we're always learning. You never know everything. And plus with music, things are constantly changing or new things are coming out in the sense of, you know, new programs or whatnot. And you can always be learning, and there's always that one thing you didn't do in your last production that could change the whole next one for you, you know? So it's
just get better.
Yeah. It's such an important thing. And the one thing too, that will help a lot with new writers is to just not stop writing. If you get stuck, if you have writer's block, finish it. You know, you can always come back to it, but just finish the song.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I finished.
Do you like getting feedback on your songs once they're done?
I love it. I really do. Because it helps me notice things that I would have never thought of. I will say, and there have been times as a producer where sometimes it sucks because, you know, I'm not only having to fix a lyric or a melody, but I have to go in and cut stuff out and, you know, but at the end of the day, it's totally worth it. I think that's the best part about having a publisher too, is not only them pitching your stuff, but, you know, they're constantly telling me what can make something better or what I should be focusing on. And it's honestly like having coaches. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm still aiming towards that. That's definitely a goal of mine. I think it's really important. And I have noticed that some people are not very good with feedback, but I feel like if you want to get better, and like, you can't really get better without feedback. And I have people like, sometimes they say, well, why do you want feedback on this stuff? Because you've already released it. And it's like, because I'm going to do more. Like, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep releasing music. And if I want it to get better, I need feedback, like proper feedback.
I feel like a lot of times with feedback, a lot of people think it's always negative, that they're being insulted or that someone doesn't like it. But sometimes it's just feedback. No. Like, you could have done
it's
this. And and it doesn't mean that it would have been better or worse, but, you know, it helps.
You can take it or leave it.
Yeah, basically.
You don't have to like take on everything everyone says, because everyone has a different opinion, right?
Yeah.
Like, not everyone's going to like your song. You just need some people, but even some people can be enough. Like, if it's just even a small percentage of the planet that like your song, that's still probably enough to keep going.
Absolutely. 100%.
If everyone hates it, Maybe it's time to rethink. Like, you know, you don't have to have everyone, but you do need some people to like it.
100%.
For it to be a viable business, that is, anyway. And there's usually always a place for everyone. It's just about finding your place.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right, last question for you, and this is more to do with your influences. If you could co-write with anyone in the world, living or dead, who would it be and why?
Oh, my gosh. For real? That's such a hard question. Oh my gosh. Okay. Just one person?
If you can narrow it down to one, or you can do a co-write with maybe two, two people.
Okay. Yeah. Honestly, I'd say Kenny Loggins. Absolutely.
Yeah, right.
100%. He's the reason I started playing music. So I would love to sit in a room, and we'll probably just chat for like 4 to 5 hours and not write anything, but I would, that would be my dream. Yeah.
And then you'd write the song about sitting with the guy that inspired
Exactly. Now you have to answer it. What would be your choice?
It changes all the time, but Leonard Cohen's probably one of my favorite
that's a good
writers
one. Yep.
Of all time. But I'm a bit of a writing whore. I'll write with everyone.
I get around.
I get around. I pretty much would write with anyone. So, yeah. But, like, obviously there's so many people that are very talented out there. And you never know whether there's going to be chemistry or not. So it's, for me, it's just about just trying it at least once and see what happens. Yeah.
I like
it. All right. Tell me what you're doing as of this year. Where can people, like, I'm going to put all your links and stuff to your music and your social so people can get in contact and follow you and support you. But what are your goals? Like, do you know, do shows? Are you going to produce more music, get more syncs?
Honestly, just producing more music. I'm planning on releasing a couple EPs this year and next.
Nice.
Just 3-song EPs and mostly aimed towards film and television. And I haven't done releases since probably 2 years ago or EPs. And I'm really excited to just release new music. And it'll probably be out probably end of summer, the first one. So just keep an eye out for that. And yeah, Spotify, the normal Apple Music, wherever. You can find me on everything.
Yeah. I'm going to put all those links in there. So it'll be on the website and on the description of this podcast. And yeah, we'll just stay in touch and keep following the dream. But
great.
Congratulations on all the success you're already having. And you've obviously worked really hard for it. And I'm a big believer in divine timing. And I think it's the time for Ronan.
Oh, thank you so much. That was so sweet. I loved that.
Thanks for joining our songwriter Tris today. To join the family and keep up to date with future podcasts, you can follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and Twitter. Please leave a review and subscribe. To support the podcast or contact me or our guest, please go to the website songwritertrists.com. The crowd, no one can hear me. Wish I